Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. And we've got a member of the Southern Bancorp family right here with us, as he is every Tuesday. Daniel Stewart joining us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place for lunch, a great place to cater your next meal and your next event. And just a great place to take the family. We appreciate all that Dickey's Barbecue does. Speaking of Dickey's, there's a connection between Dickey's and Fuzzy's. We'll be there Friday at Fuzzy's Tacos. And we're going to have Jay Ladner and Hill Denson and Justin Harris all on the show come Friday. So that will be a good one. Golden Eagles back on the field tonight. UNO here at Pete Taylor Park. Who better to have here than Daniel Stewart to talk about that? You pitched against UNO in your career, and you know, Daniel, you look at it on paper and you think Southern Miss, UNO, oh, we'll steamroll these guys. This will be an easy midweek game. But that's really not been the history between these schools, has it?
No, it has not. I mean, we talked about any time you're playing any of these teams from Louisiana, you better bring it. You know, Nichols has already beat us this year. Southeastern's beat us this year. A pretty high in scoring game, I believe, last time we played UNO as well. So we're going
to 15-10.
Yeah, so we're going to have to play well and pitch well and hit well and do all the things necessary to win the game, for sure.
Reggie Collier told me one time that he said that the toughest teams he ever played against were Louisiana teams, and he said, I believe it's all that hot food them boys eat. They just mean.
All those crawfish.
What is it with these Louisiana guys?
You know, you just got a bunch of scrappy people down there. You know, it is a kind of a different way to live life, and they're competitors. No matter if they're catching crawfish or redfish or playing football or baseball, they're going to compete.
And if you asked anybody right now who have not seen the Southland standings in baseball, if you just asked them a generic question, who do you think's better, Southeastern or UNO? What would most people say, would you think?
I would say Southeastern.
I'd say Southeastern.
Most people would.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is UNO is second in that league.
No kidding. Wow.
You know, so and really Southeastern conference records, Southeastern's at the bottom and UNO is second. So if you rest on the thinking that you got an easy one here with the Privateers, you better think again.
The only no-hitter I've been a part of when someone no-hit us was in 2001. UNO no-hit us there in New Orleans.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When you think of your career, what is the first game you go to?
In my career, oh, it's obviously going to be those Mississippi State victories.
There we go.
More so the complete game back in 2022 against those guys. Those are the fond memories. But, you know, got a chance to pitch against Ole Miss, Alabama. Those conference weekends against Tulane were all pretty those are really good baseball teams back then.
I would have thought it would have been the University of Virginia because that was founded by Thomas Jefferson. One of the first baseball teams to ever hit the field.
Yeah.
Virginia. You're not quite that old.
No, not quite that old.
He's not quite as old as you, Kelly, actually. The youngest guy on the program today is Luke Johnson, and I'm sure he's got a question for you.
Daniel, UNO, one of those teams, I was just looking at it now. There's only a few teams that have played the Golden Eagles more than 100 times, and there's only nine, actually, UNO. Towards the bottom of that list, but still, I think tonight's like the 115th matchup between those two, and obviously geography plays into that. Here's my question. We have seen The midweeks become basically tune-up bullpen sessions for the most part. Druckenmiller starting tonight. Two, three innings? What do you think they're looking at of him tonight?
Yeah, I would say they're probably going to do more of the same than they've done the previous midweek games, although, man, our bullpen's getting so slim. So the weekends are going to be more important, so you're probably going to see these guys get one inning. Starter Druckenmiller's probably going to try to get two. But, you know, if we see six to seven pitchers tonight, I would not be surprised at all. Keep these guys as fresh as they can in case they're needed for the weekend because, you know, the injuries we're facing now, we need as many arms for the weekend as we can.
UNO 24-19 on the year, 9-6 in the Southland. Just came across the wire earlier today, Billy Oldham, the Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Week. Yeah. Usually doesn't happen when you lose one. 10 strikeouts, and I guess, Daniel, for Billy, I mean, the gem that he throws, you got the shift on, a little pop-up single kind of, you know, gets UL allowing to take the lead. When you throw a game as well as Billy threw one and you don't get the win, but what are you going to be looking at of him mentally, you know, this coming Friday?
Well, you know, I, as a pitcher, and had my fair share of those games where you do your job, but you still end up losing. You know that's part of the game, and it's, I hate to be cliche, but that's baseball, and that's one of the rough parts about baseball and being a pitcher. But you know, he's had one pretty rough game this year, Georgia State. Of course, that was a weird weekend all the way around, but I think he's going to be just fine mentally. He did his job. Like we said, sometimes it just didn't come together, gave up the little hit there. So I think he's going to be fine going forward. He's been our, you know, rock-solid guy all year, and I think he's going to continue to do that.
At this point of the year, what do you think goes through a coach's mind when they decide to pull a starter? Because, look, and I'm not a baseball coach, so I don't know. But it did seem that both Billy Odom and Mazza were pitching. Mazza had retired eight straight when he got taken out of the game. What are those decisions based on, you think?
I think it's going to be season longevity. Billy and Nico were around the 110 pitch mark.
They were up over 100.
Yes. You don't want to try to stretch those guys out any more than you have to. You know, could they have gone another out or two, another 10, 12 pitches? Probably so. But if I'm Coach Ostrander right now, I'm looking around and I've seen
– You've
got to save those guys as much as you can. So is it worth trying to get another one or two outs? I don't know. So I think he did the right decision in pulling those guys when he did.
104 for Oldham and 110 for Mazza on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's 110's a lot of pitching.
Yeah.
But
unless
Daniel,
you're playing for Hill Denson.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a three-inning outing. Colby Allen, we talked about it yesterday, somewhat a gutsy performance. 41 pitches came in. With just kind of the mental aspect of Friday night's game, Colby comes in, gives up the gets the tying run on base, and then slams the door, three strikeouts in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's been that guy. He's been the one that you have counted on in relief this year. You know, he's gotten hit a little bit, but I think that's because he's warranted a little bit more attention from the other teams, because prior to this year, I didn't know who he was. A lot of us probably didn't. He's earned that recognition. So probably a lot of scouting reports on him that the other teams are doing now. But to come in and perform the way he did, slam the door, yeah, it was a pretty gutsy performance.
You know, the game has changed. We talked yesterday with Coach Ostrander about the shift. More teams are implementing the shift. Here's something that I think that you're going to start seeing as a gradual change in our game. Back when you were pitching, Daniel, and even today to a degree, pitchers will get hitters in an 0-2 count, and then they'll literally waste a pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and as precious as these pitches are becoming, I think one of the things you're going to see, ways you'll see the game change, is pitchers are going to go right after these guys and not waste that extra pitch when the hitters know most of the times it's going to be a waste pitch anyway.
Sure. No, I agree. I've heard a lot of talk about that lately. And when I was growing up, I mean, it was like, hey, if you get 0-2, that batter should not be able to get good contact on your next pitch. So throw it way high, way outside, curveball in the dirt, something like that. But I would say now, if you're 0-2 on somebody,
go after him.
Go after him. You know, throw a curveball that's going to, you know, try to be your strikeout curveball. Throw that strikeout slider. Try to keep your pitch count as low as you can, so you can hopefully go longer than seven innings or so. But there's a lot of study out there now because guys are throwing harder. There's more torque on curveballs. There's more stress on your elbows. Don't waste those pitches. Make every pitch count.
Because the hitters know that you're not going to be anywhere around the plate too. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of sit back. And if that even happens to seven guys where you're in a 0-2-1-2 count and you waste a pitch, well, that's seven pitches that you just wasted.
The pitching is keeping the hitters off balance. So, you know, if you get an 0-2 count 7-8 times in a game, maybe one or two times throw one away just to get the eyes looking at a different level. But, you know, I would say go after them.
Me too.
Yeah.
And but it hasn't been the case. I think with more injuries with pitchers and more arm problems pitchers have, I think you're going to see that change be implemented in the game.
All right. Former Southern Miss Golden Eagle pitcher Daniel Stewart is with us here in the studio. Going to continue our conversation with Daniel right on the other side of the break. Remember, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road. And now open and ready for you to see it yourself, the all-new Genesis Showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Everybody but you, Center.
Still not talking to me.
Still no luck, right?
No luck.
No, we'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. They're on Hardy Street and have a great selection of Southern Miss apparel. Say hey to the official beignet company of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, Mobe Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. You can visit their Facebook page, or the best thing to do is just go down there and get a delicious batch of beignets, the syrup of the month, and a great coffee. You can't go wrong. Mobe Beignet Company on Hardy Street. Daniel Stewart with us now for another segment. Well, Daniel, Coach Oz said as much yesterday. It's obvious to guys like us that watch pretty much every single game. We're strong on Fridays. We're strong on Saturdays. The loss of Will Armistead has really reared its head. And right now, I think it's fair to say that the Oz is he's looking for somebody that can step up and pitch on Sundays.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Armistead had some pretty – a couple of rough starts there. But, I mean, good gosh, you can't argue with the severity of that loss of Armistead. Yeah, Sundays are going to be rough. Got to patch it together. And this is times like – now you're looking for, hey, who's going to be the guy to step up? I still like Chandler best. I still think Chandler can put in some good work on some of those Sundays. But our Friday and Saturday night starters have to do well, and we have to look at those games and say, we got to win those games and then hope we can put it together.
And you got to hope they go deep yes. into the game.
Yeah. You know, Sivley, I looked a little while ago, is the lowest ERA on the team. He seems to have gotten hit a little bit here lately, but – you know, he's put quite a few innings in this year. So the Colby Allens and the Cross Sivleys, you know, they're going to have to, you know, dig down deep here and not get too tired for the remainder of the season and pull it out.
I think another loss, too, that we don't talk much about, but I think McCarty English was a big loss.
Huge, huge. You know, he was one of those guys where I think we said Coach Ostrander said he threw 92, 93, but it looked like 96. One of those guys that could you know, really strike some people out, put two or three innings together, and losing him was big, huge.
So would you think in the off season, not to get ahead of ourselves, but in the off season, that's going to have to be the focus, isn't it, is to strengthen the bullpen and get perhaps a little more pitching depth?
Well, yeah, I think so. But at the same time, you hope that guys, Chase Adams, you hope he matures a year. Chandler Best matures a year. J.B. Middleton, I'm not sure what's going on quite with him, but we know he's got the physical abilities. Let him get another year of maturity. So hoping these guys grow up a little bit as baseball players. But, yeah, we're going to lose Oldham. Maz is a junior, right?
I think
he's a junior.
Yeah, I'm afraid he'll get drafted, though.
He very well might get drafted. And you never know what's going to happen with the transfer portal. So, yeah, you're going to have to focus on pitching.
And Armistead, you really can't count him as being in the fold next year with the Tommy John surgery. I mean, I know that rehab has gone a lot quicker over – they're getting better.
It's my understanding, Kelly, he's out of eligibility, though.
Ah, okay. Well, then that takes care of that.
He's pitched too much this year for a medical redshirt.
Okay.
And so that's what was the double sting about Will. It was like, that's it, man. And everything that he did for this baseball program in the short time he was here, that's just why it stunk so bad.
Well, that takes care of that. But these weekend series, if you take the term series off of it and put it into tournament, that's essentially what you're getting. These three-game series this weekend with Coastal is very much going to be like the conference tournament and then the regional tournaments is you're playing games back-to-back-to-back. And this is where the lack of depth in pitching, proven pitching, consistent pitching is rearing its ugly head. And, Bob, you made a good point yesterday. As long as the Eagles can stay in the winner's bracket in these tournaments, and I know Coach Osby's
got to,
I mean, because you just – and then you're even going to have to – you know, close your eyes a little bit because eventually it's going to be exposed.
The reason, and this goes back, we were talking about this during the break, the reason why these last three series are so important, you win the last three series, you pretty much guarantee you're at large. And that I thought that's bold for me saying, but the Sun Belt's going to be, if you look at the conference RPI, the Sun Belt and the Big Ten are kind of like basically changing on like daily basis between who's four and who's five. And if Southern Miss were to finish in the top three regular season, you just don't want to go into that season with limits or that tournament with the struggles that they've had and go two and done and basically allow a committee to block you out. So if you take care of business the next three weekends, you want to do well in the tournament, but the tournament in some ways becomes semi-irrelevant about guaranteeing your at-large bid, unless you win it. But let's be honest. I mean, the tournament is going to be, if the Eagles win game one, the tournament is going to be, it could allow them to understand how they're going to navigate through a regional. Because game one, seven innings, eight innings, Oldham, awesome. Game two, Maz is seven innings. It's that game three. And so in a regional, it's either an elimination game in game three or it's the opportunity, you know, to win it. And so it's that's they're going to have to figure out how to navigate game three.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big question mark. We've got 11 games left this year. So, Luke, I agree with you. These weekends are going to be really important. We do not want to leave it up to a decision from a committee. No. So we've got to lay it out on the field, win as many games out of these next 11 as we can.
We've got experience with those committees.
We do.
And if you don't have SEC behind your name, it's precarious.
And part of the problem has been, we've talked about it, is consistency. I mean, earlier in the year, Middleton was your guy, right? Then Sively went the last couple of weeks. He was pretty consistent. Then he got roughed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's not been one single guy that has put four or five really good weeks together, you know, on the mound. They've been sufficient, but in order to make a dent in a 64-team field.
And from a reliever standpoint, you know, Odom's put a few good weekends together. But from a reliever standpoint, yes, Kelly, I agree.
So as a pitcher, Daniel, at least let's use Cross Sively for a minute. He's been really valuable all year.
Mm-hmm.
But he got dinged Friday night. He gave up the winning home run. How do you flush that out of your head as a pitcher?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I always try to use it as motivation for the next outing. You know, let's quite frankly just get a little angry. You know, I'm about to prove to everybody that last outing is not going to be every outing. But it is. It's tough. Now, he got roughed up when he was the Sunday starter first weekend of the year. He bounced back in that relief role and did really well. So, mentally, I think he's got what it takes to bounce back and be okay.
Yeah. But, boy, that was a tough one.
It was tough.
You know, we look back, guys, really, I know this is kind of a cliche, but one pitch away from winning the series against what's the best team in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately how it is, but this weekend could have turned out a lot differently had that pitch gone our way instead of theirs.
And right now, Luke, that's fair to say, right? Louisiana is the best team in the Sun Belt.
They are, but, I mean, what we talked about yesterday, that they got a tough – they got two out of their three next series are tough. I mean, it's tough. And for them, it's going to be for them saying, okay, are we going to show that we're the best team, or are we going to collapse down the stretch? Because, I mean, you want to talk about a hot team, you go to Conway like the Troy Trojans did, and you sweep Coastal. Of course, we don't like that. Coastal's coming here with a chapped tide, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see what they do in the midweek. But, I mean, they got Troy, and then they got Georgia Southern. And what I was most impressed about with the Cajuns was Jay Walker told us last week, Daniel, the voice of the Cajuns. He just said this MO of this team is pitching. And if you look at what Louisiana's done this year, they have won like Southern Miss has won really the last 3 or 4 years. Because other than like Sunday, occasionally they'll do these double digits. But if you kind of look down their schedule, they're not scoring 10 runs every game like Coastal. They're keeping the other team to 2 or 3 runs per game.
And don't they, Luke, the Cajuns, don't they have to go to Statesboro?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, and Georgia Southern and Jay Walker even mentioned it last week. All of the Sun Belt teams are so much better at home than they are on the road. I mean, Georgia Southern's a brute in Statesboro. So right now, Bob, Louisiana's sitting at the top of the heap. But Luke mentioned the Troy Trojans, and you always want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year. And right now, they feel like they could beat the world.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, hope remains alive.
Hope is alive. Hope is alive and well, yes.
Yeah, what we've got to hope is these teams take down Louisiana. We win out series-wise, win each series, and then go to Montgomery and see what happens.
Right. Well, we fortunately have a tiebreaker over Troy. I didn't realize Troy had gotten so hot until I was looking at the standings this past weekend.
Yeah.
But, we're going to be in the thick of it, maybe two or three if ULL gets beat, we might be a little higher. Who knows? We got to play well.
This is the big deal for Louisiana. Louisiana has to go to Troy and to Statesboro back-to-back weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Georgia, let's see. Louisiana is 10-3 on the road, but Georgia Southern is 17-9 at home, and I don't have Troy's pulled up in front of me. But the point is, the Cajuns got to go to two top-tier teams the next 2 weekends. And you might see, I mean, they could get 4 losses in the next 2 weeks, which would radically shift, particularly with Georgia Southern and Troy, what the standings look like.
And Troy hasn't just been squeaking by. They've been drubbing people. No. So,
Daniel, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hear we're coming to your place on the day that we play the school from up north.
Well, I think we were going to try, but I think we might have to work on that. I think you guys were committed elsewhere.
I don't know. We'll look at it.
We'll look at it and see.
You know, that's a special day.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. The school from up north.
Ole Miss is previously committed to play other teams in football. That's what I was trying to say.
All right, Daniel. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Daniel Stewart, Southern Bank Corp. We'll be right back with more Super Talk Eagle Hour.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I really appreciate Daniel Stewart's expertise every Tuesday. Always enjoy our conversations with Daniel. All right, big press conference tomorrow at 12 o'clock on the campus regarding upcoming improvements and renovations to Reed Green Coliseum. We will be there. And hoping to bring you an interview at 1 o'clock tomorrow when our show starts with either the basketball coach, Jay Ladner, or perhaps the athletic director, are going to work on that this afternoon. But we will be covering that. And also want to remind you that we will be at the conference baseball tournament on May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Two-hour show from the tournament on the 22nd, and then our regular one-hour shows the Thursday and Friday of the baseball tournament. So looking forward to that. And then again, we'll be at Fuzzy's with Hill Denson and Jay Ladner this Friday.
What do you expect, Bob? That, because to me, this is kind of unlike the university, really, to call a press conference about, you know, to make something as perhaps as grandiose as they're making this out to be when it's just about facilities. Normally, they'll just kind of release things and not make it such a.
Waiting forever, Sander.
Well, no, I know.
I think that's why they're doing it, because so the time, and I didn't mean to cut off Bob's response. The timeline is they were going to release it, and then my understanding was they found issues with Reed Green itself that would prevent possibly some of those renderings or renovations. So they had to basically back up and punt. And so kind of the joke kind of underneath has been, well, when are we going to get those renderings? Well, we're going to get those renderings. Well, we're going to, you know, something's down the line. Well, we're going to have renderings with it. So I think the university is responding to that with some of that. We understand that we didn't release this when we kind of, you know, intended to, and it's caused all y'all to, you know, have to back up. So I think they're trying to honor the apprehension and the patience of the fan base.
But the thing is that the money meter keeps running, right? I mean, the tax on the city, the hotel motel, you know, tax keeps running. So that money keeps coming in, and they're not going to be able to pay for the whole thing.
No, but you got to remember. You remember what, a year ago, when they had the vision night at the Rock and they laid out, you know, the $100 million, you know, rise to the top or whatever it was called, and we can get clarification on all that tomorrow. My point is, they announced something, and then the second wave of that was, here's specifically what we're going to do. That portion was delayed, and so it's kind of hard to get people excited about an idea that doesn't have actual, you know, renderings. This is what we're doing in order to push to continue to push fundraising. So, you know, I expect it to be pretty substantial what they're going to talk about tomorrow. And it's, to your point, it's all about Reed Green.
So kind of like a build it and they will come sort of deal.
Well, it's clearly the most pressing need right now in the athletic department. I would attest that it would be improvements. A lot of improvements are needed at the basketball arena. Number two would be to move the softball complex back on the campus and get it away from where it's at. But I think that's second to this. And, you know, guys, you follow basketball like we do, and you see the facility at McNeese, and you see some of these beautiful basketball facilities around the Sun Belt. With all due respect, Reed Green's an eyesore. And it looks like it was built in the 70s, and it needs massive renovation. I'm excited to hear this. I think this will be a huge step for the athletic department.
And I think, and I could be wrong on this, I just would think that part of the renovations would make it also like a venue center. So
yeah,
I mean, back in the day we had
right,
concerts,
yeah,
and other things like that. But yeah, I mean, We know what that place can be. And even with the Sun Belt Conference, guys that were in the Sun Belt, they're only playing, you know, that have only played at Reed Green once or twice, easily said it was one of the top two most intimidating environments in the conference. And so the bare bones of what that building is and what it can be are what I think also makes it, tomorrow a big deal. The other part is, when we talk about revenue and non-revenue sports, men's basketball particularly, I mean, is there a much more of a cash cow within the NCAA than March Madness? And so you've got – that's one of those components. Now, I understand in the age of NIL that facilities aren't the draw that they once were. But the point is, I think to your point, Bob, you've got to do things that make people want to be in that building rather than not want to be in that building.
And on a side note, though, you guys, when did Reed Green stop being a concert facility? because I remember, Bob, I think you saw King Crimson and...
Yeah, we saw a lot of rock bands back when we were in college.
And even back in the late 80s and early 90s, I mean, Color Me Bad was in there, and, you know, Bad...
I saw Bob Seger there, yeah, John Prine there.
Bad English. I mean, I don't know when it stopped being a concert facility or why it stopped being a concert facility, because clearly it was at one time.
Now, Luke, you were a big King Crimson fan, I'm sure.
Well, I was just going to remind you guys that 1990 was 34 years ago.
Oh.
I was 7 years old.
Oh, that's right.
The reason I'm saying that was, I mean, I think when I was in high school or college, I went to a concert there. It's got to be close to 20 years.
Since it's been that regularly.
And, you know, the only really outside things that they've done are high school graduations and things like that, you know, and Southern Miss graduation.
Yeah, I think that is going to be part of it. It seems like I did remember hearing Jeremy say one afternoon that part of the renovation was going to be where you could better access the interior of the building with like a 18-wheeler, where if you wanted an event inside the arena, you could access the arena much easier than now. I think there's going to be a new entrance or grandiose. They certainly need a ticket booth. That's an embarrassment, a little wooden shed in front of the building. And I understand, Luke, they're going to have a practice court somewhere right next to the basketball arena.
It's very needed, very needed. I found a website called concertarchives.org. Apparently, the last concert, according to this website, was in 2011. It was Chris Tomlin, the worship artist. Travis Tritt and Marty Stewart were apparently there in 1992 on the No Hats Tour. Bad English and Velvet Elvis.
There you go.
In 1990, the Commodores. The Doobie Brothers in 1977. Jimmy Buffett also played in 1977.
Did you see... John Prine, don't you? They have to let them listen.
The Commodores were in 1978.
Yeah, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band played there one night, along with
how about Vanilla
Bachman Turner Overdrive?
How about Vanilla Fudge?
Now you're going way back.
No, I know, but Vanilla Fudge was there.
You're a big Vanilla Fudge man, aren't you, Luke?
No.
In fact, I was at that concert. I remember the first two songs.
That's it. And then you kind of got lost in a smoky haze. Is that what you're about to say, Santa?
Yes. I don't remember how I got home that night, actually.
When was John Prine there?
It's not on that list, so that's what I'm actively using the device to search for others.
Come on now. Bachman Turner Overdrive, Bob Seger, and the Silver Bullet Band.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Right,
that's it.
With BTO,
yeah, I ain't seen nothing yet.
So this is tomorrow, Bob. Right, Jeremy.
This is tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and hopefully at 1. I haven't talked to anybody about this yet, so hopefully at 1 we can line up an interview with Jeremy or Coach Ladner, and then Coach Ladner will definitely be on the show Friday from Fuzzy. So I'm sure that. I'm sure that he'll have something to say about it then as well.
And of course, as Southern Miss continues to sign guys from the transfer portal,
talk about that as well.
Yeah, fill in some of the blanks there as to who are some of the new faces and names that will be on the court next season.
And Hill Denson will be there to talk to you about how those two super regionals help recruiting.
Well, Hill.
Do you know that Hill lives here now? He lives in Hattiesburg.
I know he does.
Yeah. I mean, he's right here.
Well, that means he can listen to the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the radio.
That's right. He doesn't have to listen to – I bet he's listening right now. Doesn't have to listen to podcasting. He can sit in his new home and eat gizzards and listen to us on the radio at 1 o'clock.
He's one of those places like Al Holder's at, right? There's the Shady Acres or one of those.
He's in aerobics class as we speak, I think. And I'll remind him that you said that Casey. Well, he'll know. He'll know.
It's water.
He'll be laying for you.
Water aerobics with Evelyn.
Laying for you when he sees you, Center.
But that'll be really interesting tomorrow to see.
Yeah. It's important, isn't it, Luke? Because no sport could generate more money for the athletic department than the men's basketball team.
From the group of five level, now that doesn't exist really in basketball, but yeah, you want to talk about what happens is when people make the NCAA tournament, they get paid an amount and it's spread out some. When you start racking up appearance upon appearance, or two appearances within 3 years, or two appearances 4 years, it's pretty substantial for you know, quote, mid-majors or group of five teams. And so it'd be the equivalent of basically being able to go to two bowls a year. That's what it works out to. So if you don't address men's basketball and you don't focus on it, it's to your own peril.
All right, this segment was sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Every day is a good day to have lunch at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Every day is a good day to hang out because those are great guys right there in the shadow of the rock. We love the guys at 4th Street. We thank them for their support of our program. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour on this Tuesday, brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Great place to go for instruction, pro shop, hitting, softball, baseball. It's all at DBAT in Hattiesburg. If you missed our opening interview with Daniel Stewart, former Southern Miss pitcher, of course, part of our studio sponsorship with Southern Bancor. You can go back and listen to that on demand, supertalk.fm, or the Eagle Hour podcast, found at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audible, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Supertalk Eagle Hour for you. Right when we came on air, right before we came out on air, Jack Duggan sending out his press releases, letting us know that Billy Oldham named the Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Week. Not even a 3-2 loss could diminish, from the conference perspective, what Billy Oldham did last Friday night against the Raging Cajuns. Baseball tonight in Pete Taylor Park, taking on the Golden Eagles, taking on the UNO Privateers. Southern Miss throwing Drew Druckenmiller tonight, or Drew Druckenmiller, the junior right-hander. Guess what arm that UNO will counter with, guys, right or left?
I'm saying a lefty.
Me too.
Senior Ryan DeLorb, 2-1 with a 3.82 ERA. First pitch tonight at 6 p.m. at the Pete.
All right, get back. You were doing some research. We had a listener reach out to you. I think this is very cool. You had dates of some of the big, big, big bands from the 70s that played at Reed Green, Luke.
Yeah, I found a notice, kind of like an article or an advertisement, where Ike and Tina Turner, in I think it was April of 1971, playing at Reed Green Coliseum. Had a listener text me Steppenwolf and Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. The only thing I know any connected to that is Born to Be Wild, right?
That's it, Born to Be Wild. That's right.
So I thought I had located the actual date, but it the device is not telling me that. So I will continue to look for that here in just a moment. But
give us a little Tina Turner, Kelly.
Well, actually, that tour, it was the Keep Your Hands Off Me tour.
Working on the river.
Ike and Tina didn't get along very well. It's been in all the papers.
Ahead, Luke. Did we interrupt you? Go ahead.
No, you did not. You did not.
But I think it probably is. Actually, when I was doing TV, I had Bad English on the show, and their keyboardist is Jonathan Cain, who was also the keyboardist for Journey. So it was pretty cool getting to talk to him a little bit. But as Luke so aptly pointed out in the commercial break, probably that the reason that Reed Green no longer can host concerts is there are certain codes or things that it just wasn't built for more modern concerts. You know, with a lot of modern concerts, there's electronics, lights, pyrotechnics, and things like that that Reed Green may not be able to support anymore. And really, the only access for equipment like that is down there across from the natatorium, which there really isn't. And those are just doors now, right?
So yeah, they'd have you wouldn't be able to get a truck up there.
No. So I'm sure a lot of that has to do with it.
We still have clocks that have the two hands that show the time left in the game.
And the kids want to know what that's all about.
Yeah, we've got to make some improvements.
Blood, sweat, and tears. That's another one. Hmm. David Clayton Thomas, who just retired, by the way.
Was very good.
Oh, and his voice is still...
Very good.
Still, but he just said, time to put it away. But yeah, Reed Green has housed some great concerts.
That's really amazing when what Luke dug up. I had no idea some of those bands. That was before my time here. But man, you had a litany of big acts coming through.
Well, he can get on that little device or that little toy.
He's got that device, yeah.
That thing, and he can punch in some letters.
He's sort of like my son. He whatever room he goes in, he takes the device with him. Are you ever without your device, Luke?
Well, I mean, I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, mm-hmm. I have a MacBook.
See, he's got lots of devices.
I thought the purpose of having a wife was so they could tell you what's going on and what to do and where to be.
That's why even Alexa and Siri won't talk to you, Kelly.
That's exactly right, Luke.
Yeah.
There's a great example of why no women will talk
to
you.
Yeah, I'm not a real charmer as far as
speaking
that goes.
Speaking of concerts, Lauren Johnson and I headed tonight to the Brandon Amphitheater, Need to Breathe, performing. I've never been to that venue. And people say it's absolutely tremendous. It's outside. It's going to be a great night. It's Lauren's favorite band, so I like them too. So it should be good.
Need to Breathe?
Yeah, Need to Breathe, man.
You've not heard of them, Kelvin?
Well, no, Bob, you were just saying that when you were around John Prine's bus that you needed to breathe.
Yeah, John needed to breathe. That's why his voice was always so raspy. I know. I saw personally
why
he had such a raspy voice.
You had a brush with greatness with John Prine.
I did, and the bus almost ran over me. I was trying to get close to it for some reason. I don't know. Breathing deeply.
You and Angela and were walking to the concert, right?
For the record, on this show, I, Luke Johnson, with my debit card, purchased the tickets tonight for this. It was not a gravy train transaction.
Wow.
I did.
Have you ever done that, Kelly? Bought something?
On a debit card? Yes, but it belonged to Dr. and Mrs. David R. Roberts. Thank you, Dr. Roberts. Wherever you are.
No wonder your mother gave you that portable radio as your bathroom toy.
To our listeners, if y'all don't know how I get heckled about the gravy train, it's just
Luke paid for this, Bob. Wow.
That's pretty astonishing.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up this show, thank God.
What he's not telling you is they're eating at the Sonic before the concert.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.